This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And June, that lovely prelude was certainly a good way to help us get ready to do that. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. We're glad that you're here to worship. I knew we had a lot of folks out this week, but I didn't think it was going to be that many. But anyway, glad you're here. Be aware, and it's amazing to me that we're already upon it, but next Sunday is Palm Sunday. If you want to process in, we always have a tradition of processing in and waving palm branches. Feel free to hang out in the lobby, and we'll give you a palm branch, and you can process in with us at the beginning of the service. But we have a lot of activities in Holy Week, and they're all listed for you there in the bulletin with all that's going on from our Maundy Thursday, our potato soup lunch, and then our Good Friday service, and of course all the things that we do on Easter Sunday. So make sure you take that home with you. Also, look at all the folks on the prayer list. There are many people that want and appreciate your prayers, and so I hope that you will keep all those folks in your prayers. And last but not least, there is going to be a spirit night at Marco's Pizza, and there's an announcement about that. You know what's kind of fun is the kids got to decorate all the pizza boxes. And so if you order a pizza from them on the 9th, which is Tuesday, they may bring you a box that is colored by some of the preschoolers over at the preschool. But anyway, like I said, glad you're here. Turn to those around you. Welcome them with the peace and the fellowship of Jesus Christ. How are y'all? Good. I like that tie. How are you? How's the foot doing? Is the foot still doing okay? Okay. Mike? Peace of Christ. How are you? May the peace of Christ be with you all. Join me, please, in the call to worship. For we've come to praise God, who is about to do a new thing.
Together we rejoice in God, who makes us way in the wilderness.
It is the Holy One who puts rivers in the desert.
It is our Creator who gives strength to God's chosen people.
God of abundant gifts, You are a way-making wonder. Hear us, rejoice as we make our journey and offer our praise. And let us pray. We do come this morning to praise you, most good and generous God. You've given everything in order to demonstrate your eternal love for all. So we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice at how he transformed the place of punishment on a cross into the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. We're thankful that he's still with us now in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And our request in this time of worship is you would indeed receive our thanks and praise as you continue to pour out your abundant grace so that we might glorify you not only in this place of worship, but in our lives out in the world today. Be revealed as we seek to glorify your name and rejoice and wonder at what a magnificent God you truly are. Amen. And let's begin our praising God by singing. It's hymn 78. If you'll grab your hymnal, turn to hymn 78. Let's stand and sing, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed."
Relationship with God, King David acknowledged his sin and prayed for mercy, saying, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." May this prayer be our prayer. Let us confess our sins using the prayer of confession in your bulletin. Let us pray. We come before our God, who is full of compassion, to ask for mercy. When in our excesses we consume more than our share, while others go without with basic needs, we seek God's mercy. when we are blinded by our affluence and fail to reach out in care and concern, we seek God's mercy. When we are overwhelmed by desires to acquire and consume more than we need and are unwilling to give, we seek God's mercy. When we cling to what we have rather than offer our lives to God's gracious love, we seek your mercy, O God. Forgive our sin and make our lives a sacrifice of praise in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news that's declared in Romans that announces that at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven and be at peace. Let's celebrate this forgiveness and this new life that is so freely offered and available in Jesus Christ as we thank God by singing together the Gloria Patri. Bible tells us that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. So may we be generous in expressing our thanks and praise for the many, many ways in which God has blessed our lives. May we offer God ourselves, our time, our talent, and our resources so that Christ's ministry may continue.
We come to you today in thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. You have given us food, clothing, and shelter for our bodies, as well as beautiful creations for us to smell, touch, see, and hear. For all these gifts you have showered upon us, we offered to you these simple gifts. With your blessing, we dedicate them to your service. May they be put to good use to help our church and our community. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Let you do that. Since we don't have any children today, I'm going to have us go ahead and sing our next hymn. So let's sing, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. And if you're looking for that, it's not in the hymnal. It's the insert there in your bulletin. So grab that. If you don't mind being on your feet just a little bit more, let's stand and sing that together.
Isaiah is a declaration that the past miracles of God are nothing compared to what God would do in the future. The people who first heard these words were captives and needed an exodus to be set free, just like their ancestors before them. With the promise to do a new and incredible thing, God does indeed ready the people for another exodus, a new beginning. They would have, in their own lives, great reason to give God all praise and glory. As we reflect on this reading, may we believe and trust that God will, and God promises to do, even greater new things for his people today. I will be reading from Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21, that is found on page 672. In your pew Bible. Hear now God's word. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. If you want to turn to John chapter 12, that's where we'll be this morning. And hopefully we know something of God's wondrous love because He demonstrated it through His Son, Jesus Christ, going to the cross to atone for our sin. But in John's gospel this morning, we're going to hear about wondrous love again, but it's Mary who has wondrous love for her Savior. And I want to give you just a little bit of the context that we're stepping into. Imagine if you had to, unfortunately, go to the cemetery and bury a loved one. And after the graveside service was over, you went home. And then 4 days later, Jesus shows up in town, comes to your house, and together you go out to the cemetery, and He raises the loved one from the dead. And then a few days later, Jesus comes back to your home, and now you're there and your loved one that He brought back from the dead. And He's going to have dinner with you. Would you not be wondering, gosh, how can I thank Him? As I wrestle with what went on, how can I let Him know just how truly grateful I am? And Mary is going to figure out how to do that just before Jesus gets up to go to a grave for us so He can bury our sin but leave it there dead so that we can be raised to newness of life. So before I read this passage, let's ask God's blessing. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which You have given us in Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for Him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with Him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of His disciples, the one who was about to betray Him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because He cared about the poor, but because He was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of My burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you do not always have Me." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, if you've ever donated to a nonprofit organization, then you may have noticed how interesting it is that so many nonprofit organizations will end up with your name and address. And lo and behold, you get more and more letters asking you to help them with their good cause. I know Virginia and I get letters every week from organizations, some of which we've never even heard of, all asking us to give. My phone rings asking me to give to the police fund, the children's fund, the veterans fund, the volunteer fire department. I can pretty much count that between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. in the evening, there will be a solicitation, most likely from an impersonal robocaller. And it is in receiving all these requests and solicitations that a certain attitude toward giving can develop. And a great story that reveals our feelings about this is seen in a rescue operation that was carried out in the Rocky Mountains during a very, very severe and cold and heavy snowfall in the Rocky Mountains. Way up in the Rockies, it was snowing so heavy and so hard that many of the roadways became blocked. There wasn't enough snowplow equipment to keep up with all the snow that was falling. And there were up, especially in the high altitudes, some areas that were, for a while, cut off. And so the Red Cross wisely got some helicopters and said, to those areas that we know for sure are cut off, let's get up there and make sure that those people have needed supplies. You know, like fuel and food, water, blankets for warmth, and whatever. And so this one helicopter went up to one of those places way up in the high altitudes, and they landed in this small community, and they brought people the supplies that they had so that they could sit out the storm. And they got back in the helicopter, and they were flying back to their base. And as they were, they flew over a small cabin that was pretty much out in the middle of nowhere, and they could see a little wisp of smoke rising from its chimney. Well, they talked amongst themselves, and they were really worried that whoever was there might be running out of food or water or fuel or blankets or whatnot. And so they said, we'd better stop and make sure they're okay before we go back. And they found a place to land that was about a mile from the cabin that they had spotted from above. And they put all their gear on and they collected all their supplies and they went tromping through the cold, waist-deep snow, a mile's journey to the cabin. And they finally got there and they were definitely out of breath, certainly cold. And they knocked on the front door. Finally, a little old woman came and opened the door. And when they saw her, the leader from the Red Cross said, "Ma'am, we're from the Red Cross." And before he could finish saying anything, she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Sonny. I've already given this year, and I just don't have anything else to give because it's been a hard winter." You know, we all know what it's like to have tough demands on our time, our talents, and our treasure. And the demands do come from almost nearly every direction. Calling, knocking, asking. And sometimes, with understandable justification, we're leery to open the letter or to answer the phone or go to the door. And at times, unfortunately, the worst that can happen is we don't open our hearts either. More than open the perfume, Mary in our scripture lesson opens her heart. With the words that are there in John 12:7, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Jesus is the one who is about to offer his life for us all. And he supports and he applauds the offering of Mary because she's doing it while she has the opportunity. It's passages like these that are challenging. They're challenging because they present us not just with the Jesus who prepares to go and willingly pour out his life at the cross in order to die for our sins. But it's also the same Jesus that challenges us to lay down our lives, to be sacrificial if that's what is required to stop the world's journey toward self-destruction. The radical Jesus, who goes to lay down his life for others, asks us to be radical along with him by becoming sacrificial givers as well. And I applaud Mary because she wasn't just radical in her giving. She was sacrificial. If you read the other Gospels, you'll realize that the perfume is not just expensive, it was considered a year's worth of wages. How many of us are willing to lay a year's wages at the feet of Jesus? Boy, I'm sometimes glad he just said 10%. Like the widow and her mite, like the Good Samaritan who cared enough to pull over and save a badly beaten man, and now Mary and her most expensive bottle of perfume, I'm challenged to consider how often do we give our all to God? How often do we ask the question, how can I thank the Lord for all he has done for me while I have the opportunity today to offer the Lord my thanks, my praise, and my joy as the choir just sang, how can I thank him for all that he's done for me? Irina Sindler is one of the unsung heroes of World War II, who's credited with rescuing some 2,500 children from the Warsaw Ghetto in Poland. The Warsaw Ghetto in Poland was about the size of Central Park in New York City, but it had 2 million Jews crammed into it by Hitler. Irina Sindler, a devout Catholic, saw her friends rounded up like cattle, and she knew what their eventual fate would be. Sindler was the head of the children's section in the Polish underground movement called Zagata, and they worked very hard to rescue Jews. Posing as a nurse, she visited the Warsaw Ghetto, and she convinced Jewish parents that their children had a better chance of survival if she smuggled them out and placed them with Polish families. She wrote each of the children's names on slips of paper, and she buried them in jars that were under an apple tree in her neighbor's yard so that she would have a record that could help them find the children's parents after the war. Well, the Nazis arrested her in 1943, and she underwent several severe beatings, but she refused to reveal any names. And after the war, she was instrumental in reuniting many of the families with their children. She's a poured out life. She's a poured out life which has left the lasting aroma of Christ-like love for the world to breathe in. Just like the perfume that Mary dumped out on Jesus that filled the entire house with a most pleasant smell. People like Irina Sindler and Mary in our story this morning are people who poured out their lives not because they had to or were supposed to, it's because they wanted to. You see, Mary's giving flowed from a heart not filled with obligation, but gratitude. I mean, Lazarus, her brother, had died. He'd been in the tomb for 4 smelly days. There was no possible hope for his return. And yet Jesus came and restored his life and gave him back to Mary and Martha. So how do you put a price on a gift like that? Mary's extravagant gift of nard came from a heart bursting with gratitude and joy for who the Lord was and what he had done in her life. The presence of Jesus in her life got her asking, How can I say thank you, Lord? And without hesitation or even counting the cost, she grabbed and poured out her expensive nard. For how can you put a price on the gratitude you have for the one that makes your life whole? How can you express your thanks for the one who gives you new life and even victory over the grave? Who brings you hope when hope seems to be utterly lost? Mary doesn't do this because she has to or supposed to. She gives not out of obligation. She gives out of sheer joy. And you know, we're getting ready to come to the communion table, and communion is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It's the proclamation that he poured out his life on a cross so that the punishment our sins deserve can be taken care of once and for all. It was an outpouring that occurred not because God had to. It was done because God loved us and God wanted to save us all. And so the reason God calls from his word and in the presence of his Holy Spirit here to come here to the table is simply because his love wants to be with us. His love wants to spend time with us. His love wants to feed us so that having our faith nourished, we have what it takes to go on and even join Jesus Christ in this thing called sacrificial love. So I hope in this remembrance, we can become those people who, like Mary, are moved to great, incredible gratitude for who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders that are going to assist in serving the communion, if you'll come and take your place here on the front pews. Make sure you bring your bulletin with you. The rest of you can turn to the liturgy that is there. I think most of you know that when the bread is passed, the doilies that have wafers, the wafers are gluten-free, if you prefer that. Or you can take the crackers that are there. But we do ask everybody hold their piece of bread until everyone has been served, and we'll eat the bread together, signifying how we all have our place within the body of Christ. When the cup comes, you may simply partake when it arrives. But this is the Lord's table, and this is the Lord's Supper. It's the meal that he's prepared so that he can gather us all together as his people. So if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've been baptized in his name, you're welcome to this most holy meal and celebration. Let's prepare to come. If you will, join me in our communion liturgy. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And let us pray. We do indeed thank you and praise you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. In your wisdom, you made all things and you sustained them by your power. And you formed us in your image to love and serve you. But sadly, we forgot your promises and even abandoned your commandments. And yet, in your great mercy, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. When we were slaves in Egypt, you freed us and led us through the waters of the sea. You fed us with heavenly food in the wilderness and satisfied our thirst from desert springs. On the holy mountain, you gave us your law to guide us in your way. And through the waters of the Jordan, you led us into the land of your promise as you sustained us in times of trial. You then spoke to us through your prophets, calling us to turn from our willful ways to new obedience and righteousness. And then you sent your only Son to be the way of eternal life. So we know you are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he took upon himself the weight of our sin, and he carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, he was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by your power was raised to new life. And in his dying and rising, he gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. So it is in remembering all your mighty and merciful acts that we take this bread and juice from among the gifts of creation you have given us, and we celebrate with good joy the redemption won and made so freely available in Jesus Christ our Savior. Be pleased to pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and juice so that the bread we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And in our time with you, help us to be obedient to your call and grateful for your grace so that we might love all your children, do justice, show mercy as you lead our day-to-day living. Grant us strength to serve you faithfully and joyfully until that promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of all ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. But for now, receive us as we are and continue to make us into what you would have us be as we come to you praying together the words that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we remember how he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And when they were done celebrating, he took the bread that was on the table. He gave thanks. And then he blessed it and he broke it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat of it. And then in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. It's sealed in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And whenever you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, do so remembering me. For these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you are welcome to his holy feast. Thank you. body of Christ broken for you. God, thank you for being so fully, completely, perfectly, and desperately devoted to us, your people, so much so that you would pour out your life so that we could live forever. Thank you for your many blessings, and just help us in this time with you to be forever grateful. Amen. We'll go out singing our closing. Oh, no, we won't. Not yet. We have a joy and a privilege this morning that I need to share with you. Frank Wallace is going to join as a new member. So we'll receive him. Then we'll go out singing and rejoicing. Frank, would you come over here and join me? I always do this down at the baptismal font. It's a way that we can remember our baptism and how we all have a place within the body of Christ, His church, so that we can do our part in carrying out His worship and ministry this day. And Frank, I want to say thank you just for already being widely participating in much that we do and lending your voice and sometimes your phone to the choir. I'm just kidding. But it's really an honor and a privilege to have you. But what I want to do before I ask you questions, which will just let them know your faith in Jesus Christ, let me offer you a prayer. God, we thank you for bringing us Frank. We do thank you for his voice in the choir, his hunger to learn and Bible study, and his participation in the various ministries that we do here at this church. And just as your Holy Spirit has equipped him over these many years, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to energize him, that he would continue being a light that shines in our midst. Just keep him close to you and use him as a blessing, as you've already done for us, as he takes his place within the body of Christ. Amen. I want to ask you these questions, and the reason I ask him is so you can hear his faith. He's joining by reaffirmation of faith. He's going to affirm what he has long believed in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you?
I do.
Relying on the gracious mercy of God, do you turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Relying again on God's grace, will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you? And will you participate in the body of Christ, share in its worship and ministry through your prayers and your gifts, your study and your service, as you've already been doing, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you? Thank you. Frank, you're not in this alone. We do this together. And so as he takes his place in the body of Christ, he needs to hear of your faith and commitment also. So Libby, will you ask us about our commitment in all of this?
Do you, people of this church, promise through prayer and example to support and encourage Frank Wallace to be a faithful Christian? Will you love him, help him, and minister alongside him as he seeks to fulfill his calling within the body of Jesus Christ? Will you acknowledge him as brother in Christ? If so, will you respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Let us pray. Most wonderful Lord of us all, you call us by name and promise to each of us your constant love. Watch over your servant Frank. Deepen, we pray, his understanding of the gospel. Strengthen his commitment to follow the way of Christ. And keep him in the faith and communion of your church as he serves. Thank you for bringing him here. Thank you for the ministry we all share. Let your Holy Spirit empower him to fulfill his baptism in Christ. In all of us, increase our compassion for others. Send us all into the world in witness to your love, and bring us into the fullness of your peace and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Frank, I know you've already been here for a little bit, but it sure is a joy. Thank you so much for this. If you don't mind, why don't you stand with me and sing the closing hymn, and when I give the benediction, if you'll go out with me, I want people to be able to hug your neck also. So why don't you come up here with me. Now all of you may stand. We'll go out singing our closing hymn. So grab your hymnals, and let's go out singing, "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God," hymn 397. hope that as you go into your week, you will serve the Lord as you rejoice in the presence and the power of His Holy Spirit. And may God bless you and keep you. May He make His smile to shine upon, His face to shine upon you, now and forevermore. Amen.